Hello, cyclocross friends. And today I actually mean cyclocross friends. This is a cyclocross specific Crosshairs radio today. We're giving mountain bike the week off. We'll be back with that in the next episode. But for right now, we're talking U.S. National Cyclocross Series, the new U.S. Cup, and on the show to give you all the ins and outs of that new series is its race director, series director, Ryan Trebone. It was awesome to catch up with Ryan again. We've had him on the show before, but he's always fun to talk to and does not disappoint this time around. So we will get to that interview or conversation in about a minute here. First, I need to tell you about Health IQ, who is the sponsor of our show. And Health IQ is a life insurance company that's going to help you, the healthy cyclist, get the best rates you possibly can. If you're active, if you're riding 50 miles a day, you are going to get better rates through Health IQ than you are through other companies. They know about people who are in shape. That's their constituency. That's who they're looking to work for, to find you the best rates. So that's who you should contact. Go to healthiq.com/cxhairs. Click on that link. A lot of survey, talk to those folks. You know, in this conversation I have with Ryan, he talks about how bike racing is a selfish endeavor for the athletes. This is something, this life insurance is somewhere where you can be unselfish. You're doing this to make sure that your family and your loved ones are taken care of when you are no longer around. So healthiq.com/CXHairs, please go there and click on that survey and contact them. Wideanglepodium.com, that is the other sponsor that we need to talk about. Wideanglepodium.com, hey, it's a collection of awesome. And the awesome is all of the podcast shows that are available for you to put into your ears no matter what you're doing. If it's washing the dishes, if it's riding on the trainer, if it's walking the dog, whatever it may be, we got a whole host of shows. We got hours and hours and hours of quality entertainment to put into your ears. For instance, we got to hang out. Just go and look at the shows that they got out there. They are absolutely killing it. The Consummate Athlete has picked up steam. Those guys, Peter and Molly, just doing awesome work, getting some really interesting guests that you're not going to, you know, aren't your normal run-of-the-mill guests. You know, so go check out that show as well. Hey, check out the Dirt Field Recordings. I actually got to be on the show. So I caught up with Lindsay. She was back in the DC area, came over to the house. We sat down in the basement where I am right now and had a really nice conversation. So go check out the Dirt Field Recordings. You can catch up with Lindsay after the bad crash and other health issues she was experiencing. She is good to go now and back to racing. All right. Speaking of racing, let's talk to Ryan Trebone and U.S. Cup Cyclocross Series racing, and let's do that right now. Hey Ryan, how's it going?
Doing very well. Thanks a lot for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anything new happening in your world?
Not really.
Just chilling out, enjoying retirement.
I'm enjoying not having to train 4 or 5 hours a day. It's always nice riding your bike, you know, but like I tell everyone, like, I living in Bend is nice, but it's a lot nicer when you're not a professional cyclist, because it's just you know, the weather's challenging and stuff, so like I'm enjoying riding when I want to and not riding when I don't want to.
Yeah, that's gotta be
nice thing.
It's gotta be like, it's almost like, you know, actually stopping and smelling the flowers now when you're out there on your bike, as opposed to having a goal and a purpose in it.
You know, I don't know. I mean, there's people that race and train and that's all they're into, you know, is like the racing. But I've always just enjoyed riding my bike. And for me, like, every time I ride my bike now, I always have a good time. For me, the hardest part is just putting your shorts on and getting out the door some days, you know? But like, I've always, ever since I was, started riding when I was 13 years old, like I've always just enjoyed being outside and riding my bike, and like that never changed through my whole career racing and stuff. It's just a kind of your goal and purpose in the riding was different, And, but yeah, I got no complaints. I'm content and happy where I am and how things are. So it's all good.
Do you ever see, Sven's Instagram of him like in his gym and stuff and doing all this like ridiculous like hour-long workouts in the gym and then going for these hard rides every day and wonder if he's actually retired? Is that what your retirement's like?
No, my retirement's not anything like that at all. Yeah, he's always getting after it, and like I think he just digs it. I think he's a lot more heavily involved in like a day-to-day with the team and stuff like that. So I think he wants to interact with them and it's good, like but you can't say my way of doing it's right and his way of doing it's wrong or vice versa, everybody's different in like what they want and like so there's people that stop racing and don't ever ride their bike again, and there's people that just like ride every once a week, and there's people that still train every day, and like I don't understand a lot of that, but it doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, they can do whatever they want. Like, it's not me. So,
yeah. So, as much as I just wanted to call and say hi, the main reason that I wanted to get you on the phone is a lot of times with Ryan Trebone, you get out there and you sort of ruffle feathers and you start shit and it's like, all right, Ryan, what are you going to do to back up all the talk? And I think now we see what you're doing. And specifically, I'm talking about the criticism for years has been there's no top tier cyclocross series that people can follow. There's the Pro CX 40 plus races that nobody knows really what's going on week to week. There isn't any USGP style framework out there, and you were a big critic of this, and now you've kind of gone and done something about it.
Yes. I mean, I'm never one to be shy with my opinion, and it's hard to be actively involved in making things go in a different direction when you are still racing and stuff. And, the biggest part of this whole puzzle was I was incredibly fortunate to be kind of partnered with the guys at ShowAir and them allow us to try and put something together and then find races that kind of understood and these promoters understood what we wanted to do and were on board, And so like, my work is only like this coming about isn't like Ryan. This coming about is because Scott Tedrow and Shore Cycling Group were like, do you think we can do this? And like, is this something that you think will be well received? And then the promoters being like, yeah, we want to be involved with this, And so it's awesome. I'm stoked, and I think it'll be really good. And I'm incredibly thankful for everyone that's involved with it and all the work that everyone's put into it as well too, because it's kind of like Tedrow saying we're trusting you with his brand and his kind of finances, and then the races kind of entrusting us to do a good job with their stuff, and that's not something I take lightly, because we want to look good by them looking good, and that's the only way that this is possible.
Right. So, this starts, so Scott Tedrow, may not be known really for people who just follow cyclocross or maybe even just come from cyclocross from the road in the mountain bike world. I mean, he's a big name. It's the US Cup. It's for years. ShowAir has put on races. He's had shops. He's had teams forever. He's a big backer of US mountain biking. The history of this seems to be that this actually started on Twitter with him seeing your response to, I think, something that he put out there. Tell us a little bit of that history.
So me and Scott, like, go back. I've known him since he started 9 years ago putting on the U.S. Cups and just kind of met him, a few times. And then I raced for one of his teams he had. And we've had falling out and getting back together and stuff over the years. And I think it's always because our relationship is you know, he speaks his mind and what he thinks, and so do I, you know? And so sometimes we have disagreements, but it's never like this, like fighting, you know? It's always like, hey, we don't have to agree with each other's opinions for, you know, them to both be valid or them to, you know, so he's just really into cycling. And so what happened is like, we, you know, even when I wasn't racing anymore, wasn't involved with mountain biking as heavily, or, you know, I would just chat with him once a month or something like that on the phone and just shoot the shit, you know, basically. And so I read, there was an article at Stephen Hyde at kind of Denver Bello News, I think it was February last year, where he's just kind of like talking about the scheduling and stuff like that. And I just wrote a comment, was like, how many people have to say something in every aspect of the industry for there to be a change made? And like, just making the decision to go in a different direction than what we're going, because obviously what we're doing isn't working out, you know? And Scott's like, hey, I'll give you a call. And so he called me up and he's like, do you think we could do this? You know, do you think we could like put something on? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Like, let me, you know, I went on the phone. I spent 30 hours on the phone that week, you know, just calling people and like, you know, people that are like close to me and that I trust and their opinion and stuff. And I just made a bunch of phone calls and was like, I think we can do this, you know, but this is what it's going to take. This is the time it's going to take and the resources. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And he's like, we'll bring you in and hire me full time at Show Air. And then we just kind of went from there and started working.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you could go, I think it'd be a good or possibly bad drinking game if you went back through, you know, my show episode to episode and how many times we harp on that exact point that, you know, there isn't anything out there at that top level. But going into sort of the nitty gritty of this, it's four separate races. So starting with KMC, then Charm City, which I'm extremely stoked about, Cincinnati, and then Derby. So just 4 weekends, Derby's just one day. So seven races.
Yeah.
That part looks a lot like USGP, but the difference, and I think you already sort of alluded to this, or at least one of the differences I want to talk about, is your collaboration with each individual promoter. So I'm sure that there's some overriding stuff that you're going to employ and that the races have to do, but unlike the USGP that ended up basically owning and running these races, they're still autonomous races. They're just coming under the, you know, how does that all work together?
So it's more, we're just like incorporating these four independent races into a series. You know, I think that was one of the one things with the USGP was it's really expensive to own and operate 4 weekends because you're bringing, you know, you're having to travel an entire crew logistically around the entire country, and the expense goes up tenfold. As we're this way, it's like, you know, I went to him and I said, you know, we don't want to take over your event. We want you, let you guys do what you do extremely well. You know, we just want to help the professional side, the men's and women's races, look more professional, feel more professional, and look after them, that aspect of your weekend, and bring, you know, media, bring prize money, just bring some more prestige to your races by incorporating them into the whole series, you know? And it's not this like crazy idea. It's, you know, that's how most of the races, you know, are run, is like they're independently owned, but they're just kind of part of the series. You know, the one thing we're doing is we're saying, hey, we only basically had like two requests that we wanted from people to work with them. It's like, we want the look and feel of the race, the finish line to kind of be cohesive between the series. And we wanted to guarantee equal prize money for the men and women. And that was basically the two deliverables that we wanted from them. You know, we said we want some signage so each round looks like a US Cup round. You know, independent, you guys have your own look and feel. We want to keep that like unique character to your event and not make them look like this, you know, the same model everywhere. You know, I like to kind of like, I don't want KMC to look like Louisville. I want Louisville to look like Louisville, and I want KMC to look like KMC, you know, but we want to make sure that at least when people go there, the finish line arch has similar branding, you know, and then we treat the men and women the same. And that's pretty easy, and everybody can kind of understand that and get on board, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge part of it. And something that, you know, I put it out there when the series was announced, just hey, look, world, we are doing some things right here in the U.S. and that's definitely something that I think we lead on, and it's awesome to see with the equal payout. Is the prize money for each race going to be increased over? Are you setting a level that each of them have to give? This is what I'm leading towards. Is I'm still looking at the incentive to get the top people to these four rounds to commit to the U.S. Cup races.
Yeah. So I think the incentive is, the way I look at it is, we want to create something that is a product that you can sell to sponsors. We want the races to be able to take the series and help to grow their event through sponsorship by being involved with us. And we want the racers to be able to go to sponsors and be like, what are you guys doing next year? And they're like, well, we're going to race these races in the U.S. Cup series. Because, when the USGP came around, it was a tangible thing that people could take and sell. Like winning the USGP overall or being third in the USGP overall was something you could present to a sponsor as a reason for them to support you for the following year. And without having that, you're kind of going in and saying, well, what are you guys going to do next year? Well, we're going to do these races. And it's like, well, okay. Is everybody going to be there? And so I think everybody wants to be involved with something where they can kind of guarantee a certain level of coverage. You can kind of guarantee a certain level of competition and, having prize money. We want to, this isn't like a 1-year program we're trying to push across, and this is kind of like a 3-year thing that we're looking at doing. We want to increase the prize money over the years. We want it to be $15,000 would be overall and pay down 5 deep, eventually. Like, we wanted to make it a big deal, where it's you go to these events and you win the overall and you win a couple of races and you can potentially walk home with $30,000 in cash, which is a lot of money, for most racers. And so I think for us, I always tell everyone, the best way to ensure participation from everyone is you make it as easy as possible for them to be there and then just make it worth their time, So we're not making these races that are across in the Northwest one weekend, New England the next weekend, Southern California. So they're not all over the country. They're set in a kind of like a route in the schedule that makes sense and is easy for everyone to get there. Yeah. And the cost of travel isn't super high, and then we're going to try and promote the riders, and like sell them. And, the races are always going to look after the race themselves and kind of like making their race look the best. It's like, my job is to go to the series, make the series look good. And the series look good through promoting all our riders and the riders being there and them racing well and like being able to tell this like consistent story throughout the season of what's going on in the series, yeah. I think it'll be good. I think people will be stoked on it,
Yeah, I think so. And the
we'll
timing,
have a great racing this year.
Yeah, and the timing's nice too, because it's really, you're looking at a 6-7 week spread. You got end of September and then sort of the beginning of October, a week or so off, and then end of October, beginning of November. So it's good for short attention spans. It's this little chunk that people can follow back to where cyclocross used to be when it was more condensed and it wasn't going from Labor Day until March.
Yeah. The hard part is with the World Cups being the beginning of the season, it takes all the attention and all the time of everybody there, and there's not much else to do in September, and I don't know what the schedule for the World Cups, if you're going to come back to the U.S. This is like a long-term goal with Trek and Jingle Cross to kind of keep them in September. But we want to take the schedule next year and kind of make it spread it out a little bit more so we can, especially with Nationals finishing in December, we want the schedule to be, races in October, races in November, and then a race in December. So it's a true like national series where it's not this, 4 weeks in a row kind of thing. We want to like spread it out a bit so it's more cohesive and kind of encompasses more of the U.S. But, this year the schedule was set. We came into it late and we found the best races that would work with our calendar. And they just happened to be some of the best races in the U.S. These are obviously really well-run events and they've been really well attended over the years, And it's important. You know, we didn't want to try and create races for people to be like unknowns for people to go to. We wanted to give people at least a known quantity, you know?
Yeah. And it's all the thing about this year is that, you know, we talked a month or so ago about this, and I was like, oh, sweet. And my understanding, at least, and you know, you didn't say this, but just how I had it in my head was, oh, this is going to be great for next year. So when I saw that it was coming out this year, I was like, oh man, that's really quick to stand this up. So I can see how you're definitely, you know, stuck in with those races that are already set and then just sort of growing it out from there.
Oh, we're not stuck in with the races. I'm stoked to be with.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, it's just more about scheduling. You're talking about spreading it out more. So here's my. You know, go ahead.
And, you know, the thing is we can't just, you know, you can't just look at the US calendar and expect just to have an event. I mean, the top riders, you know, like the Ellen Nobles, the Katie Comptons, Stephen Hyde, you know, and Jeremy, like those guys have World Cup aspirations as well, too. And so, we're trying to balance what they want to do and what we want to accomplish, because we want them at our event, you know, like it's important to have the top riders there, but we can't expect them to, you know, fly back from Europe just to race our race, you know, like we want to make it easy for them to be there. And so they can, you know, come to all the rounds versus like, oh, well, I can be at the first two, but then I'm going to go do these two World Cups, you know? And it's like, I understand that, you know, the World Cups are the priority for a lot of people, and that's what they want to do. But we want criticism to be like is equally as big a series in the US, where hopefully, you know, we can get all the top North American riders and even maybe attract some, you know, not like the Wood Van Aerts and stuff, but like I would consider like the little lower level racers, you know, from Belgium, from France, and to come to the US. And, you know, if you race for a month, you do these rounds, you can make, you know, $10,000 prize money and then $10,000 overall. That's pretty good, you know? And also they get to become the US and experience what we have as well too. And we want it to be a high level series, you know, where we can attract people from just not North America, from Europe as well.
Yeah. It's similar to what Switzerland did a couple of years ago, starting up the EKZ series, or maybe farther back than that, but it seems to have gotten big in that, in a lot of your sort of A level, but not top A level pros are saying, hey, this is a great series in Switzerland, we can go do that and sort of concentrate on it and not always be racing in Belgium. When what you're doing, you know, when we talked about it the first time, that's what it sort of reminded of me. Oh, this is a great opportunity like that, but in the US.
Yeah, I mean, winning Super Prestiges and the B Post and World Cups is really hard. But the riders, you know, like winning like a C2 race on like midweek in Belgium is still super challenging, you know, and those riders that are like in that 5th to 15th place are really good racers, and like they could come here and race and win races, you know, but like finishing 10th at a Super Prestige race is really challenging, you know, and the competition level is so high there, but that doesn't mean the guy that's in 12th place the street racer, it just means that, like, that's how high the competition level is, and like we want those 12th place racers to come here, you know, like those guys are awesome. They're really good racers. And like, it'd be cool for them to be here. You know, people that don't have series long contracts in Europe, you know, that just kind of go to races they can get into. And like, that'd be great, man. You know, it adds flavor to the US racing.
So one question I have is about the overall prize money. Baller move, going 10,000, winner takes all, but is there any apprehension that people lose interest if, say, somebody just sort of sweeps the first two weekends, wins four races, and then it's over?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, because, you know, the reality is that the money is an extra incentive to be there. I think what we're going to deliver in terms of content and media stuff is going to be the main draw, because I always thought, for the top racers, like typically like the prize money, you don't make your living on the prize money. You make your living off sponsorship stuff. And then the prize money is like an added bonus for most of the year, you know? And so if a guy like, you know, $10,000 is a lot of money, you know, regardless, but, you know, getting a contract for 2 years is nice, especially if you have some, you know, people see there's something worth to invest in. So I think what we're in this consistent, like, media coverage we're going to provide will be as much incentive as any kind of financial gain from prize money that we could offer.
What is that going to look like? What's the, this one is close to my heart here. What is the media coverage going to look like?
Well, you'll see when we get there. We're putting all the pieces together right now. So.
Okay. So the question, if I don't ask it, that people are going to get on me for it.
We're not doing live streaming.
Okay. There it is.
So everybody always asks that. And like, my thing is we're going to do, you know, obviously really good race recap videos that are edited and put together well. My thing with live streaming is unless you're spending $40,000.
I think that's low.
Per weekend, per race.
I think that's low.
And yeah, I mean, that to get that like TV level coverage.
Of course. Yeah.
That could be on TV is that, then it's worth it. You know, but if you're going to do this like $8,000 to $10,000 live stream where it's two guys out standing around and it's intermittent coverage, like I like to be in like control of what you're presenting to the public. Mm-hmm. And live streaming is such a gamble that you never know how it's going to come off unless you spend a shit ton of money that like, I don't want to put my name on something that like might look like shit. And so, you know, we want to like take these videos, put them together really well. So it showcases the rider, showcases each individual race, and it's something that's cool. And they give someone something to watch midweek, you know, like Wednesday they launch and people are like stoked because they get to see the coverage and they get it, you know, see HD level stuff instead of this like 220 pixelated people riding through a field. We can't tell what the hell's going on, you know? So it'd be nice if we could do that. But you know, if someone wants to come to me with $300,000 in sponsorship and we will put together and live stream the shit out of every round.
Yep.
But,
yeah, and that's,
you know, we don't have the budget for that, and the races don't have the budget for that. So,
yeah, I mean, that's me asking the question I know the answer to, but I just want to keep repeating it for people that you're absolutely right. I mean, you said $40,000 per race, and I honestly think that's a little low. I think 50 is sort of your bare minimum for getting a watchable stream, and even then, you know, having experience with, you know, cyclocross nationals for a couple of years now, even when you got that money spent, there's no guarantee that production is going to work the way you want it to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would be awesome. I wish that was something we could do, but you know, it's the reality is it's too expensive and yeah. It's not going to happen. So, and I don't mind telling people that, you know, it's like, whatever. It's fine.
So
it's always frustrating because that's everybody's like, well, is it gonna be live coverage? And it's like, no, man. Like, I'm sorry, we can't offer that. It's, you know, like the money's not there. It's, you know, well, it's really expensive. And
I can tell you too that I put this out here because I'm you know, starting to do a lot of more of that stuff too, doing it with mountain biking and then moving into cyclocross. Just, and I asked, you know, I just recently asked on Facebook and on Twitter, but Facebook was a really good conversation. I was like, what do you want as far as coverage goes? And it really is what you're talking about. I think it is more recap videos, more just sort of getting a feel of what's actually happening in the races that people are looking for more than live streams, because one, they know and they don't want to be frustrated by it. And two, the great thing about US fans, especially in cyclocross, is that they participate and they race, and they're not always going to be sitting at their computer while these races are going on because they're going to be out doing their own races. So it's something that they can catch up later and then see all the highlights from.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the weekend. And it's like, I'm going to go ride my bike. Or I'm going to go race my bike. You know, I'm not going to sit here and wait for the coverage to come on. You know, if it was on at 8 o'clock at night, sure, you'd get more people to watch it, you know, but like, I think the awesome thing with videos recap stuff is like, you're at your desk on Wednesday morning and you're bored and you're tired of being at work already. And it's 9:30 and these videos launch and they're 15 minutes is just awesome. And it's like, get you pumped up to go ride after work or just to finish the day out at the desk, you know, and like that stuff's cool, you know, and you can provide a lot more higher quality content that way as well too. And we also, you know, it's not just so much the content, but like you can talk to the riders and kind of like get to know their personalities, and then you have a reason to cheer for Jeremy versus Steven or, you know. And so it like, yeah, we want to develop like relationships with people and riders, you know, and that's how you get fans stoked on the racing. you know, because they're like, I want to see Powers win this weekend. Or like, screw Powers. I want to see Alan Krueger. You know, it's just small things like that, you know, and people like, they relate to riders. You know, and when I was racing, you know, and this is like 2004 to 2011, when, you know, Sam Smith's going around doing behind, not behind the barriers, but when he was doing like the cyclophile stuff, and he was doing the
transition stuff. Yeah.
Like, those things are like, you know, people, we kind of took that for granted on how much access that gave the fans to the riders and how much they got to know us, not just on the race course, but our personalities and like, you know, and then you align with the people that you are similar with or like their kind of like vibe they put off, you know, and like that stuff was important. I think that's what, you know, made racing really exciting when the USGP came out, because people were like, oh, we get to watch cool racing, but we also get to see these people as individuals instead of just racers, you know, and it provided like insight, unique insight to us, you know, and I think that's what led to like long-term careers at like myself and Barry Wicks and Tim and Jeremy, especially, you know, like you wonder if you get to know these people and then you're invested into them and they become fans of not just racing, but of them as well too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So you talked about, you know, this just not being a one-year deal. What's the, you know, is there any, do you have any sort of guarantee for like 3 years, or is this, you know, what's the longer term plan? How secure are we that this is going to be isn't just going to be a great idea this year and then next year, you know, it's going to go away again?
There's never any guarantees in anything, you know, I mean, things happen. So I can't say, oh, we're 100% positive it is for 10 years, but you know, Shoyer has been involved in cycling for 9 years in the mountain bike side and consistently put on a series year after year and have grown the series and put on HC level of mountain bike events. And so if we return a good product and it's perceived well and people like it, we will keep doing it, right? You know, we don't want to put something out there and nobody gives a shit about it. Nobody follows and just kind of like push by the wayside. But if we can go out there and provide an awesome product and people are stoked, and we'll keep doing it. You know, and I want to keep doing it for a while because I feel like for me, it's important to kind of like throw cycling and cyclocross back being important in the U.S. and people have jobs racing. And I think the good thing with the cross is it kind of shows people what the Shoyer cycling group does with cross, and hopefully they'll, you know, more people will come out and do the mountain bike races in the summer as well too. And like, it's kind of one hand shaking the other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, it's funny. I just, I've been traveling to most of the mountain bike World Cups, and that was, you know, before 2 years ago, that was sort of a world I didn't know much about. And just seeing the similarities, especially for what endurance cross-country mountain biking looks like now compared to what it used to look like and what cross looks like now. They seem like that chasm keeps getting smaller and smaller between the two, and that's sort of my push now, is to try to convert cyclocross people over to this, you know, cross country mountain bike people and vice versa, because I think they are a lot more similar than people know.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm old school. Like I'm not a huge fan of the new like Olympic style cross country racing. I am more like, you know, just because what I grew up in and what I started doing was, you know, big long 2.5 hour races, you know, hour long loops, just 30 minute climbs and 30 minute descents, you know, like just like what I consider real mountain biking. But like, you know, we can't control what the UCI and IOC wants to see out of mountain biking. You know, I think there's space in mountain biking for both the Olympic style stuff, the shorter courses, and kind of like the epic rides, that big long marathon stuff. You know, I think we can have both. It's not like this thing where you have to go like, oh, we only need this, or this is only cool, you know? And I always tell like the riders, I'm like, you guys, like, you don't have to like this, but do you like racing bikes as a job? Then just, you know, then go do the event. You know, it's not hard. It's like, may not be your favorite thing. It may not be the best courses because they're 15 minutes long, but like, dude, it's racing your bike. Like,
yeah,
that's what you should be out there, not to enjoy like, oh, this course is so awesome. It's like, no, I'm going to go out there and like try and rip people's legs off. You know, like not every cross course we do is what I consider awesome. You know, there's maybe three a year that are like really good and like hard courses, but I like the racing, you know, and like, I don't give a shit if it's on a crappy course or if it's on a good course. Like, I want to go out there and like have that battle. It could be for first, or it could be for 10th, you know, like that's fun. That's like what racing should be about.
Right. Right. When you were putting together this series, cause I know, and that the desire for this, for a top level series we talked about has been out there for a while. And it finally got to the point that USA Cycling, who for years is like, this isn't our job. This isn't our job. This isn't our job. Was finally starting to bend towards, okay, if nothing happens, we're willing to try to create this top tier, series. And that seemed like we were heading in that direction until you showed up with this. So what is the collaboration been between you and USA Cycling, and what does that look like going into the future?
You know, we just reached out to them to let them know what we were trying to work on and just kind of say, hey, this is what we want. I knew that they were kind of wanting to go away from the Pro CX model, like the count, like the scheduling, like all-inclusive model for 2018. You know, they've already went to the races and, taking kind of, you know, money for the Pro CX in terms of promotion and all that stuff. And so they can't really do anything for this year, but you know, it's more just like keeping channels, lines of communication open. So they know what we're doing. You know, we know what they kind of want to do in the future, and hopefully, you know, they'll get behind us and want to support more what we're doing next year. You know, I mean, this year they're not doing anything different than they would for any other race or any other promoter. You know, all they're doing is saying, hey, we told everybody we're going to do this, and so that's what we're going to do. And next year we'll talk about maybe doing something different, you know? And I know some people were like, is USA Cycling giving preferential treatment? And it's like, no, man, like I just, as a courtesy, let them know what we were doing, because, you know, it's important that they're the governing body and they should know what is going on, you know? And I'm not saying, hey, we want you guys to give us X amount of dollars for this, or, you know, give us priority over other things. It's just like, hey, we're doing this, just so you know. And, you know, I think the problem with USA Cycling is they don't like to upset people and make decisions, you know, and I think you need kind of someone that's, because they want people to put on races, sell insurance, kind of like do the inscription. So that's how they generate revenue, you know, and so they don't want to turn people off from doing that. Is where the nice thing is us being independent is we can kind of upset people and it doesn't really matter. You know, like we're not trying to go out there and like hurt people's feelings, but it's, you know, we want to do this. We think this is the best path forward. And I'm sorry you don't agree with it, but we're doing it this way anyways, you know? And it's hard because, you know, cross promoters put a lot of their own personal time and effort into this. And I can understand where people, you know, if you're doing something as a hobby, it's not your full-time job, like you're more invested into it. So if something, it doesn't come off or you feel like you're getting pushed aside, I can see where that's upsetting. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. Like we want to be successful. We want to grow the sport and not worry about people's feelings all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think you need that. I think it's like, I understand you put a lot of effort into this, but we want to work and reward people that do a really good job because this is professional and we want to make professional racing more professional. And sometimes you have to upset people and tell people no, or tell people like this shit's not good enough, you know, like does that make sense? Because as a racer, like you're constantly being judged. Every race is a like quantifier on like how much you suck or you don't, you know? And so my whole career has always been like, kind of like going, well, I was shitty this weekend. And people aren't shy to tell you that like, you were pretty slow, you know? And you're like, well, shit, you know? And you're constantly judged on your effort, you know? And so
no, Ryan, let's be real. For you, they were like, you were really fast on that first lap.
Yeah, so you're good for a while, and then you're not. And like, oh, yeah. So like, for me, it's like, that's what, you should be judged on your effort. You're putting a product out there for public. And people should be like, hey, that was really good. Or that wasn't that good. And like, they do a better job. And so, you know, this isn't charity, you know, like we, you know, you know, it should be a thing where we want to reward people that put their best effort out.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. And so here's
that's kind of what they do.
Yeah. Here's, I don't know how to delicately put this. There is another UCI series in the country right now, Vittoria series. Where does this fit into the landscape with that series?
So I talked to Meyerson and just chatted with him and said, hey, man, we're doing this year. I just wanted to let you know because, you know, they have a long standing, I think this has been going on for like 10 years or something now. Mm. But I see the Vittoria, like the New England series is just that. It's a New England series, you know, and like we don't have any overlapping dates with them, which works out really nice because, you know, the professionals in that area can do those events and then the professionals from all over the country will hopefully come do our events. We'll have both, you know. And I think that the path forward, I think, for U.S. Cross is you need to have a national calendar and then you need to have regional kind of races, you know, and schedules. And we're both kind of work in conjunction. You can have races on the same weekend because you're not going to guarantee that everybody's going to come to one round. Or, you know, if you put on a race, say, in Northampton that competes with Louisville, like, Northampton will still get a ton of racers, you know, to come to their event. But Louisville, we want to attract, like, all the top racers. And that's fine, you know. I mean, in Europe, they have races like that all the time, or they'll have a Super Prestige in Belgium. But in France, they'll have a C2 or whatever, and they'll attract other really good racers as well, too. You know, and I don't think it's this thing where just because we're competing on the same weekend that it's going to make your race not good, you know. I think you will kind of have, like, a top people will hopefully come to one, you know, our event, but you'll have these like really good regional level racers, you know, that not necessarily aren't going to win, you know, a US Cup race, but they can definitely win a more local cross race. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's not minimizing or like the other races. It's just, that's how it needs to be. You know, like you need a regional talent pool and you need a national talent pool. And that's how everything is.
Well, yeah. And I think it's also something that is good to sort of have that tiered system, and we can build more of that where, you know, somebody that is starting to perform in more regional C2 races then can aspire to do well in these US Cup races or whatever else. I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Totally. And you get, you know, a 20-year-old that is 10th place at a big national event, but he can win that race and that gives him confidence and he can make a little bit of money and it's something he can sell and hopefully, you know, develop into being a top level national rider, you know, and that's the way I came up. That's the way pretty much everybody comes up, you know. It's like you kind of own your area first and then you go, well, I'm going to go to the national side and try and do well there. And you go from finishing 15th to third to winning, you know, and that's the normal progression, you know, but like, it's really hard when you take these 19, 20-year-old kids and you throw them in with, you know, guys like Steven and, you know, Tobin and stuff who are developed racers. And, you know, they're finishing 11th place, which is fantastic. But, like, it's hard to showcase your talent and get noticed when you're in 11th place versus, you know, even if you're winning a local race, like, that gives you more press than 11th place at a different race.
Yeah. So, all right. Final question for you. Despite being retired, you going to race any cyclocross this year?
I went out and raced, in quotation marks, the Blitz to the Barrel mountain bike race we had in Bend last night. And man, it was a sad state of affairs. it was funny. They had a waiver we signed beforehand that said, are you physically fit enough to participate in this event? And I think it's more just like health-wise. I kind of looked at him like, okay, a questionable comment. I'm like, I don't really know. I don't think I'm very fit enough to race this. And like, I mean, I ride my bike, but like, dude, it was funny because the whole ride I was having this thought is like, I was having a direct negative correlation to how hard I wanted to pedal and how hard I could actually pedal. And the whole time just like, man, I wish I could go faster, but like, I just can't, you know, like I haven't been riding or I haven't really been training at all. You know, I just ride a couple times a week for shit, you know? And so, but I'm definitely not going to race any big races. I might do some of the local stuff in Oregon, but
Yeah.
You know,
well, hey,
I'm
look, I mean,
not racing, man.
Reno isn't too far from you. You're what? Racing age 37. Although that's a good, that 35 plus is a tough nationals field.
Yeah, man. Those guys train as much as a lot of professionals do. And I am not going to go out there and get like 20th place. You know, I have zero interest. And it's, you know, I do a group ride every once in a while in Bend, and like I get to a point where I'm like, I just don't want to suffer that much anymore. I'm like, I'm good with the level of suffering that I've had over the years, and like I just want to ride. I don't really need to go out there and hammer every day, and like it's fun just riding. So
yeah,
most likely not. You won't see me racing again.
That's all right. I think you're
really
racing.
I might go out there.
your resume is impressive enough without it. I think it'll be okay.
Oh man, I will be much happier if this series takes off and I become known for that than I become known for racing. Like that,
yeah.
This feels really fulfilling to me. Like
that's great to hear.
Helping people out and creating jobs, you know, like the racing's fun, but it's super, racing's just selfish, you know, like it's all about you and what you can accomplish. And like, you know, this is kind of cool because it's helping other people accomplish stuff that they want to do as well too.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, anything else we need to cover?
Nope. Go to uscup.net, check out the series, follow us, and you know, hopefully we'll provide you guys with pitching content.
Is there social media yet? You got like Twitter, Instagram, something people can go to?
It's all, you know, all of our social media stuff from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram is all under the Show Air Cycling group.
Okay.
And, you know, we have two more mountain bike races this year, the Eastern Grind and the Boston Rebellion. And those are both in July. And so I'll be out in July for, I'm going to go to the Eastern Grind race. And then I'm going to go to Jeremy Powers' Fundo.
Grand Fundo.
And hang out.
Yeah.
Grand Fundo. Go see the new baby.
Excellent.
Go ride my bike around in Massachusetts. And then go to the Boston Rebellion. Those are fantastic mountain bike races. So anybody on the East Coast or wants to come out, we'll be out there. And, you know,
fantastic. And I guess I'll probably see you at Charm City.
Well, you're going to come to all the races, right?
We'll see. I'm going to be at
I'll put it out there, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, we need CX here." But, you know, all the US Cup cross races.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll see what we can do. All right, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right, there you have it. Thanks again to Ryan for taking the time to talk with us today. That was a fun conversation. Always good to have him on the show, and I guess we'll all see him around during these U.S. Cyclocross Cup, U.S. Cup races. CXHairs.com, that's where you can find out everything that I'm up to at CXHairs on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to get in touch, shoot me an email at feedback@CXHairs.com or call the hotline. That is 405-CXHairs. Also, go check out my YouTube page. I've been putting a lot of vlogs up there from my European trips covering the World Cup Mountain Bike Tour. That's YouTube/CXHairs. So, CXHairs. Just put CXHairs in anywhere you can go and you might come up with some interesting stuff. Yeah, that's about it. Back to mountain bike next week. Great talking to y'all.